Hey.
Hi, we're good to go.
Cool.
So, all right, so let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Yeah, I graduated in, let's see, it would have been May of 2009.
Cool.
And I was a professional music major.
Nice. The cafeteria major.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. And what was your principal instrument?
Drum set.
Nice. All right. So we will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
Yeah, so I currently work as a full stack web developer. And I work for a company called Robert Half. They're a very big consulting company. And I've been with them for a little over a year. And the whole time I've been working for them, I've been on contract at Microsoft. So I work on the team at Microsoft that owns the Azure marketing website. It's microsoft.azure.com.
How do you spell Azure?
Azure.
Got it. And what does that site special focus on?
So Azure is Microsoft's cloud platform, very similar to AWS with Amazon.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so our site that we run just, basically showcases all the features and products that Azure supports.
Good. And you said that you're officially your employer is Robert. Did you say half? Like
Yeah,
age?
Robert Half International. It's HALF.
Yeah. And do you know about how big that consulting company is? Could do it by revenue or by rough number of employees?
Oh, they're very big. They're all over the country and even international. I don't know, it's a lot of employees.
Sure. And you said this entire time you've been, so they're your employer. They're the ones who write your paycheck, I assume.
Right, yes.
And that Microsoft presumably is paying Robert Half for your services.
Correct, yeah.
Is that sort of unusual that you're in such a long contract there?
Microsoft tends to have a lot of 18-month contracts.
Okay.
So I'm in one of those. So it's not uncommon at Microsoft. It's pretty long, I think, compared to other companies.
Sure. But in other words, you fully expect that when this ends, you'll still be with Robert Half and doing something else.
Yeah, they'll either find me another project. There's always a chance that Microsoft would convert me, is what they call it, so make me a Microsoft employee, but I just kind of have to take it one step at a time and see what happens. My contract will be up in September, so I'll know more as that draws closer.
Sure. Well, that is interesting because I often think, at let's say, if I could say lower levels of occupations, people talk about temp agencies. And it's sort of common for people to go, temp to permanent that way. I was
Right.
curious as to, contract, because my impression is that there are some people for whom contracting is a choice. And could even, do better for themselves contracting than as a permanent employee.
Yeah, I definitely think that in the tech world, there's definitely a lot of people that solely do contracts, and you can end up doing pretty well as a contractor. But it's, obviously it's less stable and your project will change, quite often. Whereas I think a lot of, some people just, they like the stability of having, one company that they work for, one project that they're working on.
Sure. That makes sense. And when you were hired there, did you know that you'd be working on a Microsoft thing, or did they bring you on and then they're like, hey, guess what? Surprise.
Yeah, it kind of happened at the same time that they hired me because I interviewed to get hired. I was interviewed by Robert Half, and then I was also interviewed by the Microsoft team kind of at the same time. So I knew there was another project that they were also trying to put me forward for that I interviewed for. So I knew I'd be working on either the Microsoft one or this other one. When they hired me.
Okay, so I try to say the business model. Is it pretty much like they're trying to place you on contracts, and if, God forbid, they didn't, you wouldn't get paid then? Or is it, are you pretty much guaranteed to work on it?
Well, what happens is I'll be put on bench, and it kind of depends what agency you're working for. But in my case, I would continue to get paid for a period of time. So, you know, that's kind of nice because I have security, knowing that they wouldn't just like be like, okay, we're done. If my contract wasn't extended, but yeah, so I'm on bench, which means they still pay me, but that only lasts for a certain period of time. And then if that, you know, at the end of that period of time, if they don't have anything for me, then there could be a chance that they wouldn't continue my employment.
Sure, sure. So you definitely, it's in your interest to be placed somewhere.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Cool. Can I ask, what's it like in terms of hours? Because I imagine that Robert Half is paid, you know, bills X number of hours. So do they try to keep you at a strict 40, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, they like you to work 40 hours a week, and I tend to work 40 hours a week pretty regularly. There are times on my team where I do end up working longer weeks, mm-hmm. but it's usually around some sort of Microsoft event, like a conference where there's a big impact. Like, there's a lot of new features for Azure being announced, and so it directly impacts the site. So we have a lot of work on the site that needs to go out.
Sure. And I'm curious, okay, just how much you're paid, but in terms of, like, your pay structure, are you on salary, or are you then paid by the hour? So when you work extra in a week, you get paid extra?
It's kind of both. I am salaried, so I have a base salary, but it's determined by working 40 hours a week. So I get benefits and all that good stuff. But if I do work like a 60-hour week, I do get paid more. So I do have an hourly rate. It's kind of weird.
Sure, sure. So, and let's see. Are you who are your colleagues there at Microsoft? Are they regular Microsoft employees, or are you with a team of Robert Half people?
Yeah. So my team it's both. It consists of Microsoft employees and other vendors. It's what they call the contractors at Microsoft. You're a vendor.
Okay.
So I'm the only one that's from Robert Half on my team. A lot of the other vendors are from another company in Seattle called Rational Interaction. Mm-hmm. And then there's a few that are from some other agencies based in Seattle. So it's kind of a collection of different vendors from different companies.
Gotcha. And do you mind sort of going into a little bit of detail? Is like, what's your sphere of influence? What is it that you're doing over the course of the day?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a developer on our team, so I work directly on the code base of the website. And I tend to work on a lot of the front end, which is how the site looks. And so, you know, a typical day for me, we also work with Jira, which is how we keep track of all the tasks. We work on like a Kanban model. So it's like,
sorry, what's Jira and what's Kanban? I'm flaunting my ignorance here.
Yeah, no worries. So Jira is basically just a way to track work. You can make what's called a ticket, which is just like...
Oh, yeah, it's like an item to get done.
Exactly.
My wife works in software quality engineering, so she generates tickets a lot.
Oh, nice, yeah. And then that's just... The Kanban is just the model from... You have a queue of tasks, and then you just work off the top. So you do the first one and you complete it, and then you just go to the next one.
Sorry, it just sounds like you're doing a lot of little things to the website as opposed to building some massive thing from the ground up.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally we'll be on what are called dedicated sprints. So all the program managers, the project managers, they kind of plan what we're going to be working on every week. Mm-hmm. And it tends to differ. So, like, for example, this week I'm going to be working on updating the functionality of all the forms on the website. Whereas 2 weeks ago I was working on the front end framework that our site is built on. So like all the styles of the site.
Right. Front end means what the users see.
Exactly. Yeah. So it definitely tends to change. Like some days I'll be working what's called on the queue, which is where you just work on the most urgent tasks, the most urgent items, and you just kind of go from one to the next as you complete them. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you'll be on a dedicated sprint where it's like, okay, this week you're working on this one thing. And those tend to be bigger features and more involved. So it's little tasks, and it can be bigger tasks that are more feature-based.
Got it. How many developers are on your team?
Yeah, so there's about 20 developers now.
Oh, that's pretty big.
Yeah, between 15 and 20. Yeah, the team's grown quite a bit since I started.
Yeah, and then there's, on top of that, as you say, there's some project managers. Probably there's some quality people.
Yeah, we have quite a few project managers as well. I think we probably have about 10 project managers. And then we have an analytics developer that, you know, strictly just focuses on, analytic reports and things like that. We have an email team. So we have a dev team that just solely, works on emails. So like when a user signs up for Azure, the emails that they receive, that's about five developers or four developers. Right now we're split on two different floors, so it's kind of hard to keep track of everyone.
Gotcha. I mean, I was wondering, like, is there anyone you work very closely with, or are you just kind of one of this large group, kind of knowing other people are working parallel to you?
I think it depends what you're working on. Like, sometimes you'll be working on a dedicated sprint with another developer or a few other developers, and in that case you will be working closely. But if you're just working on one thing on your own, then yeah, you're kind of working, you know, in tandem with them. They're off doing their thing and you're doing your thing. There's not as much collaboration, I guess, at that point.
Sure. Again, I don't want to go too far into your history now, but I'm curious, like, have you ever worked as a regular salaried employee, or is this, if so, I'm curious to hear, like, how it contrasts. Or is this sort of your first gig, or you've been mostly contracting?
Well, this is my second dev job since I learned how to code, so I did have a job before this. And that was also at an agency, but I was working, I wasn't working as a consultant. I was working on the in-house dev team, which was really small. It was five developers. So it's definitely a lot different because there's so many more people, and just the amount of work is a lot greater than my first job. But we're still working with project managers, and they're kind of, you know, they organize how the work is going to get done, and then they assign it to the developer, and there's still some similarities there.
Mm-hmm. Very fair. And do you mind sort of taking us through a typical day?
Sure, yeah. So I normally get to work. There's no strict, like, you have to be here at 9 a.m. So I usually get to work around 8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And then I'll usually spend the first hour or so, addressing any emails or if I need to get back to anybody from the day before, kind of taking care of that. And then we have a meeting every morning. We have what's called stand up every morning at 10, which is where we basically get together really quickly and just go over what we're going to be working on that day. Mm-hmm. And then after that's over, that usually takes 15 minutes, half an hour at most. Then I get back to my desk and I start coding. So I'll open up whatever it is I'm working on. I'll open up the ticket, the task, and I'll open up my code editor and get my local environment up and running, and just start working. And then at some point go to lunch. And then usually I'll work till about 4:30 and head home. So it's 8:30 to 4:30 is my normal schedule.
Very cool. Qualify for these interviews, one of the things you criteria had to hit is that you enjoy what you do. So I'm curious, like, you know, what is it about being a full stack web developer, or if you want to go into the specifics of your own job too, that you enjoy?
So the coding thing is something I won't try to get too far back in my history because I know we're going to move on to that later. But mm-hmm. I discovered coding 3 years ago, and I always really enjoyed it because, you know, I think there's a lot of similarities to playing an instrument and coding. You know, it's very challenging. It's very technical, but you can also be very creative with code. I mean, there's people that basically make works of art just with like front end code. And I always thought that was really cool. I really like the problem solving aspect, and how you get to work with other people. You know, like when you're playing in a band, you are, even if you are working on your own on something, no matter what dev job you have, you're most likely going to have to work closely with other developers and, you know, kind of have that team mentality. And I really think that being a musician and playing in a bunch of different bands has given me that mentality of, like, you know, we're in this together and just everyone's trying to do their best and give their best to put out the best product.
Sure.
So, there's a lot of things I like about coding. I just always found it very interesting and, you know, I still play music, and so I still get to express myself in that way. But coding has just kind of, I like discovered like a new, I guess, part of my personality when I got into coding, and it was really cool.
Oh, that's excellent. And okay, so I'm gonna ask you one thing. I'll have to get back to slipping my mind right now. So, in that case, let's take it back now to 2009, terrifying year to graduate, given the economy.
Yeah, seriously.
But, like, it sounds like, because you've been saying this, discovered it 3 years ago. So it sounds like you weren't thinking web developer at the time.
Oh, no. I knew nothing about code. Zero.
Okay, sure. So put us in your head for, like, what were you thinking as you were wrapping up Berkeley? And, you know, we'll sort of take it one step at a time, both, you know, what you were doing and where you were at from there to where you are now.
Sure, yeah. So when I was graduating Berkeley, at first I was planning on moving to L.A. because I was born outside of L.A. and I have family down there, so I'm pretty familiar with that area. And at the same time, I had a couple guys at Berkeley who I played in a few bands with that were also thinking about moving down there. So that was the plan. And we graduated and we all headed home for a while. I came back to Seattle and those two friends of mine went back to their hometowns.
So you're from Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Seattle area. Cool. Go on.
Yeah. So I came back to Seattle and one of my friends, you know, he decided that after thinking it over, he didn't really want to move to LA. I also was on the fence about it because, you know, there's aspects that I like, but it's just the traffic and just there's so many people down there and it's just really congested. I wasn't really super into the idea, but I was open to it if my two friends were willing to move down there. Mm-hmm. That kind of fell apart. So I decided to stay in Seattle to see what would happen. And shortly after that, I started teaching at this local drum school. And
is that your, like, essentially your full-time money thing or your primary money thing?
When I was like a career musician?
You just talk like when you, when you were like got this drum school. I mean, this sounds like a few months after you graduated.
Yeah. That kind of became the main source of income at that time. Mm-hmm. So I started teaching. I started just playing. Basically, I became a hired gun in the Seattle area. So I was playing in a bunch of different bands and playing in wedding bands and stuff like that. So that went on for like a year.
Pretty common thing for people to do just after Berkeley.
Right. Yep. and then around that time, a year after I graduated, I met, my wife. And so, you know, I met her and, we were together for a while. And so obviously I wasn't going to move anywhere. So we met and ended up getting married in 2011.
So you meet her at, if I'm doing the math right, 2010s, married about a year later, plus or minus.
Yeah, we were together for a year before we got engaged.
Okay.
A pretty short engagement. We had a really small wedding. It was just family. Okay. Just outside of Seattle.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Can I ask really quickly, what does she do for work?
She's a graphic designer.
Cool.
But she has her own business that she started when we lived in Nashville, which I'll get to in a little bit.
Sure, please. So it's 2011. Sounds like you're teaching at this music school at this point, and you get married. So, yeah, like, what's the next step career-wise?
Yeah, so we, you know, we kind of settled, you know, the marriage, we had our wedding and got back from that and kind of settled down, you know, things settled down. And I continued teaching, but, you know, that's when I started to realize, like, maybe I needed to get out of Seattle. You know, I had been in the Seattle scene. I knew what it was like. And I didn't want to move to L.A., but my wife and I were talking one night. And
what was making you feel you needed to leave Seattle? Was it just feeling like too small a pond musically?
Yeah, that and, just, I guess, wanting to maybe get on, like, bigger gigs, like, be somewhere where there was more, just, like, a bigger music scene. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, because I always, when I, you know, when I was coming up as a young drummer, my dream was like to be like a session drummer and to, you know, tour and do all that stuff. And I didn't really see that happening in Seattle. I felt like I needed to move to Nashville or L.A.
I always hear Nashville, L.A. or New York.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't really want to move to L.A. and I definitely didn't want to move to New York. New York is awesome, but I could never live there just because, again, too many people. And I spent most of my life in Seattle, but I actually grew up in Bozeman, Montana.
Okay.
So I like, you know, space and being able to live somewhere where you can kind of get out of the city easily, mm-hmm. which in Seattle is, you know, you can drive like 20 minutes outside of Seattle and you're in the mountains basically.
Sure.
So, I was just kind of not very happy with my current situation. And my wife and I were talking one night and she actually brought up, Nashville. Cause I had gone on the Nashville trip my senior year at Berkeley. Oh, yeah. And I just did it for fun. I had some friends that were doing it. And at the time I liked it, but I thought I was moving to LA. So I didn't even really give it the time of day. But thinking back at that point, I was like, oh yeah, Nashville actually was really cool. And, you know, it seemed like a really welcoming musical community. So we went and visited, like a month after that or a few months after and came back and were like, yeah, let's move to Nashville. We might as well just give it a shot. I mean, we didn't really have anything to lose at that point. And so we moved in September of 2012. We moved to Nashville.
Okay. So you moved to Nashville, and it sounds like you're planning on still doing this music thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The whole reason that I moved to Nashville was to go for it, I guess.
Yeah. Like, okay, no, good for you. All right, so there you are in Nashville. Now what?
Yeah, so we moved to Nashville, and I knew a few people from Berkeley that were there that were friends, so I immediately connected with them and just started networking and doing that whole thing. And I started playing. It definitely took some time because, you know, I didn't know a whole lot of people. But you know, slowly I started getting gigs here and there and playing. I did work a part-time job. Well, it ended up being almost a full-time job while I was out there trying to make the music thing happen.
Doing what?
I was working at Guitar Center.
Just like on the floor?
Yeah, yeah, basically working at Guitar Center, which I didn't love, so that was kind of a drag.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was like, okay, I moved out here, working at Guitar Center, and it wasn't too fulfilling, but I was still playing, and I got to play with some really talented people. And that basically lasted 2 years. And after 2 years, I was in a spot where, you know, I enjoyed my time in Nashville. I thought it was a really cool town, but I didn't really see myself wanting to be there for the long haul.
I could ask, how is your wife feeling about Nashville?
She actually liked it, and she was fine with, you know, she totally supported me whether or not I wanted to leave or stay. So, you know, it was up to me, but I think after those 2 years, I just realized that it wasn't really for me. And we both missed our family. Most of our family lives on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was that factor as well.
And it sounds like you were getting some gigs, but it wasn't like your career was snowballing or.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had a couple opportunities to audition for some bigger country artists and stuff like that. The other thing is the music scene. Like the music scene in Nashville is really, it's changing a lot and it's becoming really diverse, but it's still, you know, it's country based. So, you know, if you want to make money, you're going to be playing country, which obviously I knew that. But I was playing a lot of country and I wasn't really playing a lot of other styles of music. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I was in Seattle, I was playing like everything, from like, you know, playing in rock bands to playing country, jazz, like playing in funk bands, all sorts of stuff.
It sounds like you enjoyed the variety.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like being able to play a lot of different styles of music.
Very fair. So if I do the math right, it's 2014 now, and you decide you're going to move back to Seattle?
Yep. So move back in 2014. Okay. It was May of 2014 when we moved back.
All right. And, like, what's your plan as you're moving back then in terms of your own career?
Yeah. So before we moved back, when I was thinking about it, I called the drum school that I used to teach at and I said, hey, you know, Nashville is great and everything, but we miss Seattle. And would there be a spot for me to come back and teach? And they said, of course. So with that said, you know, I came back and I kind of fell into the same rhythm that I was in before I started teaching again. I built up a pretty decent amount of students. Mm-hmm. I started playing with a few of the people that I had played with before moving to Nashville and some new artists. And so I just started doing that hired gun thing again, like playing gigs and teaching.
Sure. Well, if you were still doing that, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So something changed.
Yeah, yeah. So I did that for a year. And then after doing that for a year, I had this kind of like personal realization that I wasn't sure if I wanted to be a career musician. Not that, you know, my love for music is always going to be there. I'm always going to have a huge passion for playing. But I guess because music, the other thing we didn't really talk about is the only thing I've done pretty much up until I learned how to code was play music. Like the first money I ever made was when I was playing gigs. I was 17 years old. I started playing in bars. So that was like, that's all I really knew. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
And I think that was great. Obviously for my playing, like I think I got to an ability on my instrument that I was proud of and I feel confident playing a lot of different things, but at the same time, you know, I never really branched out and I never really looked into any other skills that I might enjoy doing. And so, yeah, we've been back for
Do you mean any other music skills or any other skills, period?
Skills, period. Like, sure. Non-musical skills. Like, I didn't really branch out much. I was just kind of like, music, that's everything. And, you know. So, yeah, about a year after being back, I had that realization where I didn't think I wanted to be a career musician forever. Like, because I could see myself teaching and, like, trying to play gigs. I didn't want to be 50 years old and, like, you know, having to take a bar gig for like $150.
Okay.
So
right, you're just feeling like, okay, yeah, like if you're not seeing your career growing, then it's like, is this what I want to do for decades?
Right, exactly.
Very fair. Yeah, so go on. So then what's your thought? If you're going, maybe there's something else, what's your next step? That's kind of scary.
Yeah, it was. But at the same time, I had a friend who was a guitar player, and he had gone through this coding boot camp, and he was just getting his first job. And I thought it was really interesting. I'd never really thought about coding. I had no idea, like, what, you know, any HTML or JavaScript was. I didn't have a clue, but I just thought it was really interesting that he did that. And I started to ask him questions one afternoon about how he got into it. And he said that he went online and he found some free tutorials and he just started taking these free tutorials and one thing led to the next and he just started really enjoying coding. And after a couple months of teaching himself, he decided that he wanted to kind of dive in head first and go through a boot camp, which are, they're really popular, especially in Seattle. There's these coding boot camps, which are popping up all over the place. They range from between 10 weeks and 20 weeks. It just depends which one you take. And all you do is learn how to code, basically. And you come out of there and, you know, they say that you're job ready after that. So then you try to get your first job. And some of the courses, I think, have, at one point they were guaranteeing job placement. I think they stopped doing that because a few of them got in trouble for doing that. They weren't able to guarantee you a job. But yeah, I mean, obviously Seattle's one of the best places to be, I think. If you are a developer, there's a ton of jobs and the city is just growing like crazy because of all the tech jobs that are available right now. So, but yeah, sorry, I kind of went on a tangent there. What were we talking
about? No. It's just kind of like how you were getting into coding. It's so scary. Oh, yeah. And you said that you had a friend. It sounded like your friend had maybe just done one of these tech boot camps and had got right into a good job. Is that?
Yeah. So he had just started his job and yeah, I was interested. So I started asking questions about he got into it. And, so that led me to discover some free resources online. And through those resources, I started taking these tutorials, basic coding tutorials, HTML, like front end tutorials, like that focus on HTML, CSS, and JavaScript.
And do you recall like which, because I've heard of some of these free places like Code Academy and stuff. Do you recall which ones you were using?
Yeah, it was Code Academy.
Yep. Codecademy, very cool. So you start doing these tutorials, and I assume you're still doing music at the time.
Yeah, I was basically doing this in my spare time.
So how long did you sort of do this in your spare time before you decided, Because it's one thing to sort of dip your toe in the water, right? You're doing some free tutorials. Worst case scenario, you decide it's not for you. What's the point when you said, okay, I'm going to do it and go to this boot camp?
Yeah, so I started with the basic tutorials, and after taking those, I signed up for a subscription to Code School, which is another pretty popular one. That one you have to pay a monthly subscription for, but their courses are really in-depth, and I started taking more in-depth front-end courses. After about 3 months of just doing coding tutorials in all my free time, that was the point where I said, hey, I really like this. I find it really interesting. I think I might want to do this as a career, and maybe also look into doing one of the boot camps, similar to what my friend did.
So it took you about 3 months, and you were enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, and what's the name of the boot camp you went to?
So I went through General Assembly, and the boot camp, their course that I took was their 12-week web development immersive course.
Yeah, just it's funny, the interview that I just posted on the website, which is like maybe 5 to 4 years, person did, I think they were in New York, but they did the same thing. Because Code, I'm sorry, not Code Academy. You said the place you went to is called?
General Assembly.
Yeah, that person also did General Assembly because they're national, right?
Yeah, they're all over the country. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. To go back and listen to that one.
Yeah. Cool. So, all right. So anyway, so you basically are like, okay, after a few months, you're getting the hang of it. You're liking it. You're like, okay, going to do it. And I imagine that the music stuff tapers a bit while you're in this immersive thing, because I hear those are very intense.
Yeah, I did end up still playing a few gigs, but it was, you know, when I was in that course, it was like my full-time job. I mean, you wake up, it's really long days, and you're usually working on weekends. So it's like 12 weeks, and all you do is learn how to code. Throughout that, like sprinkled in throughout that 12 weeks, I had a few gigs here and there. But I stopped teaching completely. So I basically I gave all my students to one of the other teachers at the school. So that was, you know, the biggest thing.
Sure. All right. So then you make it through. We're coming in, out the other side of it. And when did you do this boot camp? I'm talking like summer of 2015.
Yeah, it was the fall of 2015. So it was, basically September, the very end of September. And then we finished right around Christmas.
Cool. So, yeah, what's your next step? I imagine you're coming out going, okay, time for a job. So how does that all happen?
Yeah, so I think that's one of the hardest parts or obstacles that I had to go through. And I know that this, you know, I've since graduating General Assembly, I've spoken with a few different people that went through, and getting your first job is tough. They usually tell you that it takes 3 months or between 3 and 6 months to get your first job, especially when you come from a non-technical background. Like, I have nothing I can point to that says, oh, you know, in the past I've done some, you know, technical work. My whole resume is just playing music essentially and teaching. So it took me 5 months to get my first job, and that was really hard. And I was working very hard at it. Like, it was basically my full-time job.
And what was your job search involving? Just lots of applications, or were you networking, or?
Yeah, it was both. I was going to like meetups and networking, and also just, filling out a lot of applications. And also, you know, when you're doing these technical interviews, you kind of have to prepare yourself, because they'll ask you a lot of how to like solve these coding questions on a whiteboard. So if you're not comfortable with that, you know, like I bought myself a little whiteboard and I started like practicing writing code on a whiteboard so that I could actually like handwrite it. And then I worked on memorizing, you know, certain algorithms that are really popular in coding interview questions. So things like that. So you also have to study up and make sure you know the tech side of the interview process.
Sure. So that's serious preparation there, as you say. It's like a job.
Yeah, it's very serious. And I had a lot of interviews, you know, and I had a lot of really positive interviews, but it was like I heard a lot of, we really like you, we think you'd be really good, but you don't have enough experience. So it was like that kind of that catch 22.
Can't get experience without a job, can't get a job without experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, you know, thankfully I got my first job, and after 5 months of looking, and it was a great first job.
Can I just ask, how did you get this first job? What happened? Was this just one more application number 217 hit pay dirt, or?
No, this one came to me, actually.
Go on.
Yeah, I got a phone call from, it was a random phone call from one of their recruiters, or I can't even remember really who it was, but she called me and she just said, hey, we want to hire a junior developer in-house, and we have this position open. We think you'd be a great fit. Would you want to come in and meet the team? And I said, of course. So then I went in to meet the team. Like I said, it was really small. It was like five developers. So I met them, and we talked a little bit about things I'd worked on, and we talked a little bit about code. It was very, for a technical interview, it was very unstructured, and it was very loose, which I kind of liked. They didn't ask me to like write a function that finds the nth Fibonacci number on a whiteboard. They asked me more about my projects that I made at General Assembly and why I made them and how I made them, and some architecture questions and stuff like that. And then after that, I went home, and they called me the next day and said, yeah, we want to offer you the job.
That's awesome. But so what was the company and what was your job title?
Yeah. So the company is called Rational Interaction, mm-hmm. and they're an agency in Seattle. And my title was Junior Web Developer.
Okay. So, that's great. We won't get to anywhere near the detail that we do at your current job. Just like, how was it like? Did that first job, was that like its own learning curve, or was that, did you feel totally prepared for doing it?
I felt like General Assembly did a really good job of preparing me. With that said, you know, it was my first dev job, so it was mainly like learning the workflow and, you know, just getting that first experience of like working with PMs and things of that nature.
Okay. I'm sorry, I may have missed. What did the company do, or like what did you do specifically there?
Yeah, they, so they're an agency and they have a bunch of different projects that they work on in-house. So mm-hmm. when I was there, like a few of their clients were the Seattle Seahawks, Microsoft. They had some Microsoft projects. Acer, which is a computer manufacturer. They basically made the website, the Acer website, and they maintained it. So they had all these different projects.
Web-based projects.
Yeah, web-based projects. And they had an in-house design team. So it was like a whole, you know, like it was basically like, we'll, you know, do all the design for you and we'll do all the development. You know, everything was done in-house for these companies, basically to get their websites out there.
Sure. So that sounds great. You're not there anymore. So what was your next... Sounds like you went from there to where you are now. So how did that transition happen?
Yeah, so that was completely unexpected. I was basically let go. My company went through a bunch of layoffs. Mm-hmm. So they grew really fast in a very short period of time. And what happened was they grew very fast. And then all of a sudden they were in a situation where they couldn't hold on to all these employees, and they had to make a bunch of cuts. And since I was the only junior web developer on the team, They let me go. I was like the lowest guy on the totem pole at that time.
Sure. And this is what, like late 2017?
Yeah, so, this was
because you start there, if I'm doing the math right, in like May of 2017.
Oh, it was May of 2016 when I started there.
Oh, May 2016. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was there. It was January.
Oh, that's right.
When that happened. January of 2017 when that happened.
Okay, so you've been there for like 8 months or so.
Yeah. Right.
And then January 2017, so then I imagine you're like, oh, crap, I got to get another job.
Yeah, yeah. my wife and I just bought a house, too, so it was even more.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But luckily, the second time around was way easier. I mean, once I had that first job on my resume that I could point to and say, you know, I was actually employed working as a developer, it just helped so much. And within 2 months, I had two offers. And for one of those, I was on a vacation for like 2 weeks through that period as well. So it was much more relaxing than the first job, the first hunt, the first time I had to find a job.
That's great. And can I just ask again, like, how did you get your current job? Was this just you sent the resume out or some other story?
No, again, this was through a friend of mine who received an email from someone at Robert Half basically saying, hey, we're looking for developers and we think you would be a good fit. And he already had a really good job, so he said, oh, I'm not interested, but my friend Chris is currently looking for a new job and he would be a really good fit. And so he contacted me, and that's just how, you know, one thing led to another. I interviewed there and they liked me, so they wanted to bring me on, and then that led to the interview at Microsoft. And
Got it. Yeah, as you said, those interviews were more or less the same time. So they're probably like, we need people for the Microsoft project.
Right, yeah.
Got it. MABS, what's your title again?
So my title now is I'm a software engineer too at Microsoft.
Gotcha. I see the one is the lowest and it goes, what, 2, 3, 4 or something?
Yeah, and then it depends on the company. Sometimes it'll go up to 4. Sometimes it goes from 3 right to principal. So, yeah, then you'd be principal and then, I think, senior.
Gotcha. Hey, working your way up. You're still new.
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool. All right, so we'll move on to the third part of the interview, 3. So my next question for you, and you've alluded to this some, we can go into a little more detail. Tell us about your current relationship with music and current Think Like This calendar year.
Sure, yeah. So I still play quite a bit. You know, I've been in this area long enough where I have some really good relationships with some awesome musicians that are in the area that I've played with now since 2010, some of them, except for the time I was in Nashville, obviously. But yeah, I play in a handful of different bands, ranging from, you know, ones like an indie band, all original music. I play in, I do play in like a wedding band. I play in like a more bluesy kind of like soulful bands. I play jazz gigs every once in a while.
How many times would you say you gig in an average month?
Yeah, I would say I play between probably 4 to 8 gigs per month.
Wow, it's like 1 or 2 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep.
All right, excellent. And the wedding band, like, are these bands ones where you're like the main person, or is this like subbing in?
A couple of them are bands where I am the main drummer. A few of them are ones where I am just a fill-in or a sub.
Sure. All right, very cool. All right, so my next question for you, and you alluded to this a little bit earlier in terms of like that team aspect, but we'll go on and see if there's you have more to say, is that right? You're actually far from my first Berkeley grad who's gone into code. Nevertheless, music school grads are a pretty small minority of people working in tech. Right. So like
very small.
Let's assume that you would have gotten a bachelor's degree from somewhere. But let's say relative to if you'd gone to whatever University of Washington, gotten something. Is there anything you feel your like Berkeley education experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Yeah, I think, like you said, what I mentioned earlier, I think when you're at Berkeley, you're surrounded by people that are from all over the world and all over. They're from, you know, different backgrounds, different cultures, different places in the world. And you just come together and you play music and you learn how to work, work in a positive way with just people that are just so different from you. I remember I was in, I think, a fusion ensemble during my junior year, and I was the only American in that entire band. And I just thought that was so cool because, like, I was playing music with people that were from all over the world. And, you know, we came together and we just we made something happen. And that was really inspiring. So I think that was one of the biggest things I got from Berkeley, was just learning how to work with people from all different backgrounds. And yeah, I guess that's the thing.
Sure. Very fair. All right. So, let's turn that question around now, because Berkeley gives that one degree, a Bachelor of Music, and you went there knowing that. But like all that said, is there anything where when you look back at your Berkeley education, you say, oh, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete?
Just in general, or like in how it relates to what I do now?
Like either, but I mean, I guess I just mean, okay, let's assume that you didn't walk into Berkeley and like go see some palm reader who's then like, oh, you're going to be a web developer. And then you're like, great, it would be great to take these six classes, right? The place, Berkeley's a music school.
Right.
You went there knowing that, but I am asking you in general. I'm not talking you, the great PhD educational consultant here, right? I'm talking you, Chris Carlson. Is there anything where you say, you know, hey, I wish I'd learned X while I was at Berkeley, or I wish they'd, you know, let us know a little more about Y? And if so, what are X and Y?
Yeah, about that. I think maybe from, you know, when I was a career musician, like just, I guess figuring out how to, build up, it's been a long time since I graduated, so they may have this right now, but just, learning how to build up like a clientele of students, things of that nature.
Sure, because a lot of people do end up teaching, so a little bit more about how to.
Yeah, I think that could be
business. Cool. And was there anything you wanted to add in terms of, or is that pretty much it?
I mean, I'm sure there's something I could think of. If I'd have to sit down with this question and think about it for a while.
Okay. All right.
Nothing more that comes to mind.
Sure. No worries. So, all right. Next question is, right, so musically, I mean, you're holding your own. You just sort of said that, okay, this has been good for the medium run, but let's not do this for decades to come.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, it sounded like 5 months of really educating the hell out of yourself and then 5 rather terrifying months looking for work. But so yeah. It took you... That said, between the time when you were like, hey, let's give this coding a shot, if you flip the calendar and look 1 year later, you have your job.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, so you got on this path pretty quickly once you said you'd look elsewhere. I'm sure you're aware a lot of maybe more recent Berkeley grads haven't found that path. Maybe they're kind of feeling like you were around that end game as you were thinking, do I really want to keep doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps even there are people still at Berkeley, maybe in their last year, staring out into the big scary world and being like, oh my God, what comes next? Mm-hmm. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
Yeah, I would say just be open to new things, I guess, because, you know, you never know. You know, like I was a person when I was younger that I had a very set way I thought my life should look, you know, like I was going to go to Berkeley. I was going to do this. I was going to do that. But like I never thought I would end up working at Microsoft as a developer. But I really think what helped me along the way was being open to new possibilities and just kind of going with, you know, okay, I like this, you know, I don't need to think too hard. Like when I first started getting into coding, I wasn't like, oh man, well, this could get in the way of my drumming. I just looked at it as this is something new that I like, and I'm just gonna see, you know, what happens. It could just be, you know, a short-term interest that dies out. It could be something more, but I'm just gonna go with it and see what happens. You know, because for me, I was always, and I don't know if this is true of other people. I'm sure it is of some other musicians at Berkeley. Like, I was like, okay, it's gonna go this way, and it's not gonna be any other way. Like, I'm gonna be a drummer. I'm going to Berkeley. I'm gonna be a drummer. I'm gonna, you know, graduate, and I'm gonna like tour and do sessions, and it's going to be this way. And I think like, I think once I was able to kind of like be more open to other things, it really helped me in the long run just grow as a person. You know, I still play music and I still get a ton of enjoyment out of playing music. Mm-hmm. That's always going to be there, but I think it just helps me. It's like the more skills that you have, I think it can't hurt you, you know? So I don't think you should ever look as, acquiring a non-musical skill as something negative. Because just the more you know, the better off you're going to be.
Sure. That's great. So to sort of focus in a little bit, because you're something like my 134th interview.
Wow.
And, I don't know, maybe my 7th web developer. So I don't think anyone's listening to all 144. But the folks who, you know, might be thinking about this, I could imagine someone getting to this point in the interview and going like, wow, right? You didn't go to some 4-year program after Berkeley, right? You were like, hey, I mean, you know, I don't want to diminish what you accomplished, but the simple fact is it took you less than a year to get this new career going.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see people saying like, hey, you know, Chris is talking about these similarities between music and code. Hey, it's something where if you sort of put in the sweat equity, you could get somewhere in less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I'm interested. Now what? So, like, for someone who's really thinking about a career as a web developer, what specific advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I would say, you know, try it out. There's a lot of good resources out there online, like Codecademy. I think it used to be called Code Academy, and they changed it to Codecademy.
Oh, okay.
So that's the one that I point everyone to. They have just a really basic course called Make a Website. And all you do is make a very basic website, but you learn kind of the foundational skills of HTML, CSS. I don't know if you do JavaScript in that one. You might do a little bit. But then they have intro to HTML, intro to CSS, and like intro to JavaScript. That's all free, and it's just really – it's a really good way to just kind of play around and see if it's something that you would like doing. And then after that, there's also Code School, which I mentioned, which you can have a free profile, but you won't have access to a lot of the content until you pay. And I think when I had a subscription, I don't currently, but I think when I did, it was like $30 a month. It wasn't too bad. Sure. And they have a ton of different courses on more advanced frameworks, more advanced JavaScript frameworks and things like that. So I would say start with the free courses. And then if you're interested, there's resources like Code School, where you can like learn about jQuery, which is a really popular JavaScript framework, which has been used forever, or some of the newer frameworks like Angular or React, which are really popular. And you can go from there and maybe look into a boot camp. There's tons of boot camps. I know just popping up all over the place, not just in Seattle, but across the country. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say just that would be the course that I would recommend to take.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, hey, Chris, I only have one last question for you, which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed? Anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so. I appreciate you contacting me.
Sure. No, I'm very glad. I enjoyed this conversation. And yeah. Sure people find very useful. So, well, hey, I really enjoyed this, and best of luck to you and everything. It's great how you've sort of kept the music thing going, too, as on top of, you know, your career as a software developer.
Yeah, I feel really fortunate that I can do both. I have a pretty good work-life balance with my current job, so it allows me to, you know, play on the evenings and over the weekends and things like that. So.
That's awesome. All right. Well, hey, look for a message from me on LinkedIn in the very near future, and have a great evening.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye now.
All right. Take care. Bye.